Welcome to Alternative Investments Chat,
where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike.
With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock opportunities in your business or portfolio. I'm Erin.
And I'm Erica. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Alternative Investment Chat. My name is Erin and I'm here with my co-host today, Erica. Today and every day, really.
Stuck with me for life.
Yeah, you won't see us flying solo anytime soon. But today we're going to be talking about an important topic that is shaping and changing the financial landscape, which is middle market debt financing. Large established corporations typically rely on bank loans to fund their growth plans, and startups typically rely on angel investors and venture capital. What options are available to the businesses that are in between?
Exactly. So if we want to talk about middle market, first of all, let's explain what those companies are. Those are companies who have an annual revenue between $10 million and $1 billion. Now, when I was doing my research, those numbers are slightly different from a little bit from site to site that you're looking at, but that's roughly what they range in. So $10 million to $1 billion. There are about 200,000 middle market firms.
Wow.
So the majority of these companies in the middle is who needs all the money, right? Mm-hmm. They also employ roughly 30 million people, and they're likely to draw funding from business development companies, which you're going to hear often throughout this episode is BDC. Mm-hmm. And they also look for money within finance companies or debt funds. Mm. So let's dive in a little bit so we can understand what this middle market debt is.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned BDCs, and those were created as a result of the Small Business Incentive Act of 1980. This piece of legislation was passed in response to the Investment Company Act of 1940. As you can imagine, this act was put into effect after the Great Depression, and it restricted the amount of people and companies that can invest.
I remember that. We've talked about that in a previous episode.
Yes, yeah. We have talked about it. Obviously, after the Great Depression, people were really scared. That was an event that changed the lives of everybody. And trying to put forth some regulations to help prevent that from happening again.
Yeah, well, a lot of investors lost a lot of money because it wasn't being regulated. And so now we want to protect those people. So I can understand why we created these acts.
Yes, exactly. But because less people were allowed to invest, it reduced the capital available to smaller businesses.
Makes sense.
Recent legislation has, however, helped to fix this problem. Middle market companies seek out these BDCs and other lenders in order to pursue growth opportunities. These companies rely not only on the lender's flexible financing solution, but also on their expertise and their guidance.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit. So, I mean, if you want to talk about flexibility, let's dive into some of these loan options. One of them is called a mezzanine financing. So mezzanine financing is one of the most popular forms of middle market lending. So it's a hybrid loan that has equity and debt financing, providing the lender the ability to convert equity interest into the loan default, or in case of loan default, should I say. And this type of loan is highly flexible, needing low collateral, which is great for a company if they don't have much, and is often based on the company's cash flow. So this kind of financing is particularly appealing to entrepreneurs and family-held businesses. Mm. The reason that is because it can enable them to realize dividends that they may not have other realized, and given their given that they have equity in these companies, it also gives them liquidity and the ability to diversify their portfolio. That one thing that everybody wants to do when they are investing. Again, though, because equity is involved, this means that owners who utilize mezzanine financing, they can sacrifice some of that pie. Mm-hmm. So they have to give up a piece of their company oftentimes. And then the lenders are at risk of losing their investment if the company goes under. Because what happens is if a company goes under, there's another debt that we'll talk about called a senior debt. Mm-hmm. That they get paid first once everything is, the company's assets are liquidated. And so those people who have the mezzanine loans holding those or giving money to those, they might not get their return because there's other people who get paid first. Mm-hmm. So it can be kind of scary and a little risky, but everything comes with a little bit of risk. So, and I mentioned those senior debts. Why don't you go ahead and dive into a little bit more about those?
Yeah, let's jump into senior debt. So if a middle market company is looking for something a little bit less risky, we can utilize senior debt. And as you mentioned, and we'll kind of give a little bit more details here, senior debt is borrowed money that a company must repay first if it goes out of business. These loans are only issued by banks. And since it is highest priority, it's considered less risky. These loans offer great flexibility. Competitive leverage levels also allow for lower interest rates.
Got it.
And with a senior debt loan, companies put up their concrete assets as collateral.
Ah, so they've got stuff to give. If something happens that you can sell, you know, I always think about like medical companies or something. If they were to go bankrupt, they have that equipment to sell to kind of assist and give back to the lenders.
Help recoup some of those monies that are being lost. And this also contributes to it being perceived as less risky.
Yeah, because you've got something hard to tie it to. That makes sense.
Exactly. These loans are alternatively known as asset-backed. You might have heard that before, listeners, if you know you've heard that, or asset-backed loans. Just means, just like it sounds, you have an asset that they can take in the event that there's not enough cash to take to cover. Middle market debt is a critical financing tool that enables companies to fund their growth strategies while maintaining operational and financial flexibility. So you can see why it's attractive.
Yeah.
But how is this all applicable to alternative investments, which is arguably the center of this podcast?
Yeah. What? Alternative investments? Never heard of them. We've already said it a few times, but middle market debt plays a pivotal role in helping these businesses and investment firms expand their presence in the growing alternative investment sector. So that includes private equity, real estate, infrastructure, venture capital, and hedge funds. There we go. but Erin, go in and explain how that actually, like, why does that even matter?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that the first thing is access to significant capital. Many alternative investment opportunities require a lot of capital upfront, whether that be real estate or funding private equity deals. Talking about a lot of cash. So this can help assist with that.
Yeah, because a lot of people can't just go out and buy a huge building and then start working out of it. They need a little help.
Yeah, exactly. Middle market debt also allows firms to leverage their balance sheets to access funding without liquidating their assets to create more funds or raising equity, which we've talked about equity a lot. There's pros and cons, but if you're trying to avoid raising capital with equity, this could be a good option.
Trying to keep full control and giving up a little bit of control is perfectly fine for a company. A lot of companies do it. Like you said, we don't want to discourage anyone who's listening and say, no, you know, equity is like the big bad, you know, no. But no, it's some people want to make sure that they have full control of their company. When you give up that equity, sometimes they're going to choose something different.
Speaking of equity, due to the non-dilutive nature of this type of financing, it can be really attractive. They get to preserve their equity that they do have. And this provides financing needed to capitalize on opportunities like portfolio acquisitions or fund commitments without diluting their pie, as you mentioned. Also, there's bridge timing gaps. In the alternative investment space, cash flows can be irregular.
You know this.
This can be due to timing of asset sales, distributions, or capital calls. Middle market debt can act as bridge financing to smooth out these cash flow gaps.
That makes sense because sometimes, like you said, they're not always consistent. Sometimes you sell a bunch and then you have a little bit of a dry period and then, or you have got to hold an asset. We talked about, in a previous episode, you know, some of the like fine art, they hold it for 3 to 5 years. So what are you supposed to do then?
Yeah, exactly. And we know too, that people search for capital in very different avenues or several different avenues sometimes. So this could just be another avenue that you explore.
Yeah.
We can understand why companies do like middle market debt, but why should investors invest?
Let me tell you about this. let me tell you why they should invest, investors. So there are a lot of times there's higher yields. So middle market debt typically offers higher interest rates compared to investment grade corporate bonds. We kind of already know that. If you look at some of the lower ones, it's like you know, 2%, 3%. Mm-hmm. Some of these other ones are offering in the teens, so it can be extremely appealing to investors. There is our favorite, the portfolio diversification. Investors gain access to capital companies not listed on that public market, and then they provide opportunities for unique and tailored investments. Again, we talk about this often. Make sure, you know, look through some of your stuff and see what you want. There is risk mitigation always, because many middle market loans are structured with strong covenants, collateral, or those seniority debt in a capital structure, which reduces the risk. Mm-hmm. Again, if you are lending and you're on that senior debt side, again, we don't want to see companies fail, but if something does go bankrupt, you're guaranteed to get your money back, which is kind of, you know, makes you feel a little good inside. And then, of course, there's that growth potential. These companies in the middle market are trying to grow. You know, they operate in a growth phase, I guess, or they these really small little niche markets, and they provide opportunities for returns aligning with their expansion. They're not happy being in the middle. They want to get bigger. So that's great for investors, because that means that there's going to be some time and some effort put into this company, which means hopefully your investment's going to grow. So, and again, these all sound great for investors, but we have to do what we always do and talk about the risks. So tell me about some of those risks.
Yes, let's dive into the risks. You know, it's our favorite thing to cover.
And my favorite game.
Exactly. First off, credit risk. Middle market companies may have weaker credit than large corporations.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They haven't been around as long. They haven't had time to make their mark yet.
Exactly. And this can increase the risk of default, you know. There's also liquidity risk. You've mentioned that middle market debt is less liquid than public bonds or equities. This can make it harder to sell those quickly. Mm-hmm. Also, economic sensitivity. Middle market companies are often more vulnerable to economic downturns, which can impact their repayment ability. And complexity. Sometimes these investments require more expertise to analyze the credit worthiness of the borrowers and the structure of the loan agreement.
Yeah, if you don't, I mean, if it's probably not a good thing to invest if you're not fully understanding.
Well, that's
what the
true.
Loan structure
that's true.
Even looks
regardless.
Like. That's a good risk. That's a pretty big risk.
If you don't understand, don't give somebody your money.
Exactly.
I don't care if you're getting your nails done or whatever. Don't give them your money if you can't understand what's going to happen.
If you're going to a nail salon and not understanding what they're doing to your nails.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe
we've got maybe a little bit bigger problems here. You should just leave. No, that's mean. Go get your nails done. It's really nice.
So now that we've covered the good and the bad, what are the steps that an investor needs to make in order to get involved in middle market debt?
Great question. Anyone have the answer? No, I'm just kidding. Just like any other investment, you want to, as an investor, determine your investment goals. Mm-hmm. Consider factors like the risk tolerance we've talked about many times, income needs, what do you need? Do you need a big chunk of cash every month? Like, what do you need? That time horizon. Again, some people can invest for 20 years. Some people can invest for a minute. And decide if this debt aligns with your portfolio strategy. You've got to choose your investment vehicle next. Decide between private credit funds, those BDCs, or right. direct lending based on your desired level of involvement and liquidity. Again, do you want to? Are you cool? Like, if the company goes bankrupt and not getting anything because you want to help somebody, I sure as heck don't want to, but maybe you do. I don't know. I mean, I think about angel investors.
I love investing and
just
never giving my money
giving
back.
Your money away.
I'm gonna knock on wood on that one.
Give me your money. No, but you need to make sure, you know, how much do you want to be involved. Conduct my favorite due diligence. Mm-hmm. So evaluate the performance history of fund managers, loan structures, and risk mitigation strategies. Again, this should all be easily defined. If you're investing in a company, you should be able to see all these things.
Right.
Do a little bit of homework. And then diversification. So you want to make sure you're going to spread your investments across industries, loan types, and geographies to minimize that risk. Again, in this episode, you know, those mezzanine loans might be great because they have really awesome returns. But if you can't, like, if maybe you give a little bit there and a little bit to senior debt so that just in case something does happen, you're covered. Mm-hmm. And then you want to always, always, always monitor the performance.
Right.
I think a lot of people, you know, you can't just invest and just like be like, okay, it's invested and not check it.
It's not a set it and forget it.
No, situation. Not in any shape, way, or form. I think we've talked about this many times for myself. Like when I first started investing, I would literally log on every day and check it and be like, oh, what do I have? What do I have? What do I have? Now I can at least go a few weeks and be like, oh yeah, I haven't even checked my investment. I best, I should probably check that. So you want to keep an eye on economic conditions, those interest rates, mm-hmm. and borrower performance to ensure your investment remains aligned with your objectives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode. Key takeaways here is that middle market debt provides critical financing for growing businesses and even real estate projects by filling the gap left by traditional lenders.
Yeah. Bank.
Yes, exactly.
A bank loan. And angel investors are not an option.
Mm-hmm. So this
gotta
is
find a different route. A different route.
A different route. Exactly. This is filling that gap. And for investors, it offers a way to achieve higher yields, which are always appealing and attractive, and also achieve income stability, potential income stability, while supporting economic growth. And always remember to speak with your wealth advisor and seek professional guidance on this. That way you can get the most up-to-date information and you know that you have someone who's in your corner trying to help grow your portfolio. That is my biggest advice.
I know we are in the era of DIY, but don't DIY your investments.
I would agree.
Yeah. Talk to a professional, mm-hmm. whatever that means to you. Thank you again for tuning in and listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you can learn how to invest your hard-earned money. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode.
And don't forget to subscribe to continue the alternative investments chat.
See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional financial or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.